Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. This week on the podcast, we are looking at part two of how you can create healthy, clear, glowy skin. So I'm doing like a mini series on acne at the moment. So this is part two. Last week we looked at the gut and how hormones, especially, we really dove deep into the five different hormones that can really impact your skin. And today I'm going to be talking more a little bit about detoxification and cortisol, and a little bit about genetics as well, because last week I shared the kind of five-part blueprint, which is gut, hormones, liver, genetics, and cortisol, that can all impact your skin and acne. And these are things that I see come up a lot in my practice. That's what we're looking at today. So do stay tuned, make notes, and remember, with every single episode that I record, I really want you to take one small action after listening. Doesn't need to be a big thing, doesn't need to be a huge thing, but remember not just to absorb information. The only way you're going to transform your health and see results is by taking action on the things that you learn, okay? So this doesn't need to be huge. It can be tiny. It can just be taking a couple more deep breaths, drinking a bit more water, trying a new food, but take some sort of action, okay? So that's what we're looking at today. And before we dive on in, there has been, a lot is going on in the world right now. I know so many people, wherever you are in the world, are just like, what the flip has happened to 2020? And I feel you. I have many unpopular opinions about the coronavirus and how it's been handled. And I definitely don't have a mainstream approach or a mainstream opinion. And I don't feel at all worried for my safety or the safety of the people around me, but the way it's being handled is, it's just very interesting. So I'm not going to talk much about that, but just know, I know what's going on. I'm sending you love and peace. Know that you're powerful, that you can make choices, all of that sort of good stuff. And today we're just going to have a lovely break from all that stuff going on. And we're going to talk about your health and all the things that you can do, all the things that you do have control over, because you're way more powerful than you think. And that's why I love the work I do as a holistic nutritionist. Every week when I chat with clients, I see them realizing, actually, wow, the things that I do every day impact my health and impact the way that I live my life. And it's like this dawning realization of like, wow, my choices are really powerful and my choices can dictate whether I'm living the life I really want to live or whether I'm living kind of in fear and maybe with the health that I don't quite, you know, I don't really want. So that's part of one of the many reasons why I love what I do. But this week I'm celebrating a couple of things. I'm recording this podcast to you, not from my bed. So hooray, celebration number one. Celebration number two is we are moving house, which was not really planned, but then being pregnant with twins also wasn't quote unquote planned. I feel like the universe planned it for us, but in my conscious knowing, it's not something that I like was desperately hoping for or was also at any likelihood. I'm not someone that has twins in the family. I'm not of the age where sometimes twins can increase. I've had no fertility treatment, just super fertile. It turns out it's a danger of getting really healthy. I'll do another podcast on this, but my hormones used to be a disaster, guys. I wasn't even sure I'd get pregnant, you know, many years ago. They were just, I didn't have periods for months on end. And then for a while I had periods that were coming like every 2 weeks and they'd be so heavy and painful. And then, So anyway, we're moving house. We bought a house last week and we're selling our house this week. So it's just been, so that's exciting, a bit nerve-wracking, but also exciting. I've been celebrating wanting to eat more food. I ate fish last week And I ate sardines, guys, not just any fish. I ate sardines. So I'm celebrating that. For those of you that are maybe listening to the show for the first time, quick update. I'm pregnant with twins. I've been severely sick with this pregnancy. I was with my previous pregnancy and have basically been bedridden since end of June. And I'm slowly now recording this end of September, and I'm slowly starting to emerge and spend less time lying down, and I'm not puking as much. So there's because a quick life update. So that's exciting. I've been celebrating with my clients, celebrating signing up some new clients, which is exciting. So if you are wanting to work with me and go in depth in my private kind of 3 to 4 month program, really need to take action soon. I'm going to be going on maternity leave probably mid-January time, maybe that sort of time. So in order to get that program fit in, we need to be starting soon. So if you want to work with me one-to-one and see some phenomenal changes, do get your act together, go to keziehall.com, book a call with me, email me ASAP. I really mean that ASAP. I need to be starting getting ready soon. And I've just been celebrating signing up with some new clients. So I'm about to work with some people around eczema and some ongoing digestive issues. I'm about to start working with someone around hormones and fertility and weight and all of that sort of good stuff. So I probably have about 2 spaces. Currently, I'm currently waiting to hear back from one person. But I think I might have 2, maybe 1 spaces left. And then that's me done. And then I will come back at some point in 2021. And I'm not quite sure when. It'll really depend on these babies. So I'm celebrating that. And then obviously I'm just celebrating my current clients. One client I'm working with has a really complex health situation going on. And we're primarily at the moment really focusing in on her gut health due to a lot of bloating, and there's some SIBO infection going on, and the stool test just brought up lots of imbalances. And so bless her, she's been making some really helpful changes to her diet, and has actually just emailed me this morning to say that she was already starting to feel like her digestion was starting to heal a bit, and she was feeling like she made progress. And that I just love getting emails like that from people, or just seeing even previous clients on Instagram. I have a friend who is a friend, but then I also worked with her for a couple of months, and she was just some of the wisdom she was sharing about what she'd learned from really loving her body. And we did a lot of work with her around detoxification and gut and all sorts of good things as well. And so I've just been celebrating that, which is exciting. And then I've wrapped up a couple of programs with a couple of different clients. And that is always really fun, where you be like, wow, when we started this, you're digestion was like 9 out of 10 bad, like really bad. I often get clients to scale it, and then they tell me their digestion is like 1 or 2. And I'm like, yes, this is so good. So I've been celebrating that, as well as eating my sardines, as well as selling our house. And oh, and guys, I've been exercising. I mean, I think exercising is maybe too strong a term, but remember, I've literally been lying down in bed for a good, 22 hours of the day, I would say, for the last 4 months. And so I've just started this pregnancy kind of workout. It's basically all around your pelvic floor. I'm aware that where possible, I'm really going to try and birth these babies vaginally, as long as the doctor gives that the go ahead and there's not any risk factors involved. And I was aware that, man, I've just spent 3 months in bed, and I could tell I've lost muscle mass. I lost a lot of weight, kind of muscle wasting. So I'm aware if I've got any chance of getting these babies out, I need to build a bit of strength. So I've been doing that, just really quick 15 minute pregnancy appropriate pelvic floor based workouts, which has been fun. So that's what I'm celebrating. Right. Those are all the good things. Oh, I have one other thing to share with you. So number one, in terms of you taking action, if you want to work with me privately, ASAP, take action, book a call. If you know you're not ready to commit and invest with working with me intensively in this in a private program, I do have a 10-day group program coming up. It is super affordable, accessible to everyone, and it's called the Happy Hormone Program. Now, it's not available yet, but if you are on my email list, you will be the first to know. So just to put that out there. If you're needing a kickstart, you want to rebalance your hormones, create more energy and better moods, this is for you. I'm going to be talking, teaching you about your hormones, what's really going on, what can happen, what can go wrong, and what are some of the key foundations for you to bring balance to your hormones so that you can have more energy, better skin, better moods, and just feel more like yourself. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could end this like BS of a year actually feeling better health-wise than you did at the start? Wouldn't that just be a good like middle finger to 2020, that despite all the crap, you finished the year feeling awesome? I mean, I just personally think that's a wonderful act of rebellion. So do stay tuned for that. Again, signups are not open just yet. People on my email list and in my Facebook group will get first access. So make sure you are in one of those places. Okay, let's get on with today's show. So last week in part one of this mini series, we talked about acne and I introduced the idea of what it is, why it can be happening. And I shared with you the most common reasons or the most common root causes that I see when I'm working with clients in my virtual practice of the kind of contributing factors. What are some of the biggest reasons and biggest influences of why as an adult you might still be regularly struggling with acne? Now, it was by no means a comprehensive list, but just from my experience of working with thousands of women over 5+ years and through my studies and research, these were things that I feel like probably come up most, but again, it's Anyway, you know what I mean? It's not an exhaustive list. There can be other influencing factors as well, of course. But the main things were your gut health, hormonal imbalance, liver health, genetics, and cortisol as big influencing factors to your acne and to these breakouts. And this might be acne on your face, on your back, on your chest, on your bum, on, this isn't the most places people tend to have it who I've worked with. And I know there's different types of acne in terms of cystic acne and all of these kinds of things. So I'm kind of doing a bit of a broader picture because I find that once you get the right foundations in place in terms of tackling an issue, whether it's acne, IBS, endometriosis, whatever it is that you're looking to tackle and see a shift in, once you have some foundational pieces in, then you can build on that and get more nuanced. But I honestly, this is one of my pet peeves of the internet and social media, is I see so many people completely missing out foundational steps when it comes to nutrition and lifestyle. And they jump straight to these really nuanced workout programs, really nuanced supplements or food types or diets or like I'm just looking at it being like, you have completely missed the point on these three crucial aspects. And that is, my friend, is why you're not seeing progress. Anyway, pet peeve of mine, which is in my Happy Hormones program. That is what I'm making sure that you have access to. It's going to be super affordable. And I really want to make sure that you know exactly what some of these essential foundations are for you to have healthy hormones before you dive off into all these nuancey, complicated things, which can make a difference and sometimes cannot. Okay, so this week we're doing part two. So last week we talked a little bit about gut and primarily we looked at hormonal health, looking at estrogen, progesterone, your androgens, cortisol, and insulin, and how those play a role in, and how they can play a role in terms of your acne. So this week, what I want to look at is specifically supporting your detoxification and why that matters, and also look a little bit deeper into cortisol and what you can do about that. Because we did talk about that last week, but I do find that it is so important that I'm going to talk about it again, because this is something I see with clients that really, if something's going to get in the way of a client's progress, so say I have a client who we're doing everything right, we've ran tests, we've doing all the good stuff, they're doing it properly, you know, and if they're not making the progress that I would expect, often it's because their cortisol is too elevated and they are not addressing that properly or are unwilling to, or various things going on. Honestly, that is one of the biggest things that I think halts people's progress. It's one of the biggest things in my own life that has halted my own progress. Not realizing that my brain had was kind of stuck in a lot of trauma mode. And so therefore my cortisol was really elevated. Every time I tested my hormones, my cortisol has always been really high. And I'm like, I don't know why that is. I don't feel that stressed out. And would just kind of be like, okay, not really sure. Whereas this is a really key part. Okay, so there's also the genetics, which I talked about, which I'm not going to share loads about in this episode. Genetics is like a huge thing, and I'm also not the genetics expert. I do use it in my practice with clients and in terms of basic genetic testing, but in terms of the really nuances of it, that's something that's on my to-do list to go and get further professional training on. We did it in my postgraduate. We did do modules on genomics and how genetics affect, how genetic mutations affect it. So I do use it in my practice, but when it comes to genetics and acne, that'll kind of almost get wrapped up a little bit into liver, into our conversation around liver as well. So that's why I'm mainly going to be focusing on those two. So let's talk about liver. Why on earth does your liver matter when it comes to skincare? And having clear skin, because you might be listening to this, you'd be like, Kezia, I've struggled with acne my whole life. I just want clearer skin. It's so uncomfortable. It affects my confidence, all of those different things. My liver is really far away from my face. Like, why does that matter? And I hear you, I understand. But your liver, my friend, is a powerhouse of your body. Whatever health issue you want to see shift in, you need to support your liver. Now, your liver does so many things. It's amazing. It's maybe one of my favorite organs. It's just like, if you cut a bit of your liver off, it will grow back. It does so many complicated things. It's just right now, just in your mind's eye, give your liver a little bit of love. Just say thanks. It's the reason you're here. If your liver stops working, you die. It's liver failure is a thing, and it's not a positive prognosis. So your liver is really important. Now, if we're getting really specific around acne, what you want to do if you're struggling with acne and you want to see it clear, you need to be aware of how important your liver is and to really learn how to support the pathways and processes of detoxification. So detoxification is where the body essentially eliminates toxins. Now, these might be toxins that it takes in from the environment, so it takes in from outside, and these might be toxins that the body generates itself. And your pathways of detoxification are basically about removing those from the body. The liver plays a big role in this, so does your kidneys. And urine, so like poo and wee, are all parts of detoxification. Sweat is also a bit of detoxification. Breath, when you breathe out, you're kind of detoxifying some of those gases. But looking at supporting your detoxification is really important. And we're focusing here on the liver because your liver is especially where you deal with hormones and keep hormones balanced. So I'm going to keep this in really metaphorical and simple language because otherwise it gets a bit complicated. But so you have your liver and your body's constantly producing hormones. And as females, you have times in the month where you're producing loads of hormones, time in the month where you're not producing hormones, because we're cyclical beings. Unless you are being medicated with synthetic hormones via the contraceptive pill or implant or injection, those kinds of things, you will be getting a different fluctuation of hormones throughout the month. And that's how it's meant to be. And your liver's job is to, as well as all the other toxins going on, is to get rid of hormones when the body's done with them, essentially. So if you think, let's say you've got your hormones, when the body is done, when it's finished with them, when it doesn't need any more estrogen, it's going to go to the liver. It's going to get converted into something that the body can excrete and get rid of via poo, via urine. I mean, most of the time with hormones, it's mainly via your poo. But that is the process. And that's why with acne, it is so important, because hormonal imbalance can play a big impact on acne for a lot of people. And so we really need to make sure that your liver is really working optimally at helping kind of switch off and get rid of hormones that aren't wanted anymore. Now, obviously, you're listening to this podcast, you are alive and well and breathing, therefore your liver is alive and well and doing a great job. So what I'm talking about here is really about just ramping it up, really about giving your liver a little bit more love and really making sure that all the different pathways and processes of detoxification are being supported through your diet and lifestyle. And it's really easy in our modern culture for all of our diet and all of our lifestyle to be actually counterproductive, to actually make it harder for our livers. So it's really important to think, I like to think about having like a daily detox, like what are some of the habits and foods that I can eat to just support my liver, because your liver does so much and I really want to support it. I don't want to add extra drain and extra burden onto it. So that's what we're looking at here. And when it comes to acne, it's a really important thing to do in terms of helping to get on the pathway to clearer skin long term. So how can you support your liver? Well, the number one thing is make sure you're pooping every day. Now, I did a podcast about this a couple of weeks ago. I'll link to that. You want to be having healthy bowel movements every single day, at least once a day, ideally twice. If that is not the case, you need to do some work on that. Number one, if you were my client, you come into me and Kezia, my acne's suddenly gotten really worse in the last 2 years, don't know why, and you tell me you go to the toilet every 2 days, sometimes every 3 days, then that is one of the first things we want to see shift in order to see your skin clean up. 100%. Clear up, sorry, not clean up. Clean-up's not a nice word. Apologies. So number one, when it comes to liver, poop matters. Your poop matters. If you want to know more about that, listen to the previous podcast. I will link to it in the show notes on my website. But there's other things that you can do once. So maybe you listen to this and you're like, yep, Kezia, I poop healthy, no drama, poop once or twice a day. I'm doing good. No drama there in the poop area. The next thing you want to look at is what I think of as just really nice daily habits and lifestyle practices that just give your liver a little bit of love. So things that your liver really likes are things like sweating. Like sweating is a great way to detox. It really is. And I like sweating, yes, when it comes to exercise, but also a really relaxed sweating is also great. So that's sauna, hot bath, steam room, infrared sauna. Those are amazing, amazing for your body. Now, if you're going to use a public sauna in like a gym or something, you really want to make sure that it's clean and there isn't any mold and it doesn't smell fusty at all. I'm really wary of going into saunas in general because I often can smell mold in a lot of them. But a hot bath is a really great thing you can do at home. Just have a really hot bath to the point where you can feel your forehead sweating. Relax in the bath, put some Epsom salts in, put some bubble bath in that's not got parabens and SLS in, and chill out is a great way. So that's a great thing you can do. You might not do it daily, but just thinking like a couple of times a week, having a really hot bath, using a sauna, getting an infrared sauna blanket or an infrared sauna in the house if you really want to, is all a really great way. So sweat. The next thing that you want to do and make sure you do every day to really support your liver is to sleep. You want to be sleeping well in terms of quantity, but also in terms of quality. Now, again, I've done another podcast on sleep, so I will link to that there. But it's really difficult to make up for poor sleep. And now I say this as a mum who is pregnant with twins. So I am aware that the next 18 months for me don't necessarily bode well from the abundant quality sleep perspective, but it is the case. It's really difficult to make up for poor quantity and poor quality of sleep. I actually find a lot with clients, I'm talking to them a lot about quality because most people pay no attention to their sleep is if they're not waking up. You know, if they think they get a good night's sleep because they sleep for 7 hours, but they're in actuality, they might be sleeping for 7 hours, but it's very poor quality of sleep and they're not getting enough REM sleep or deep sleep. And that is also not great. So your sleep is really important and having sleep routines, going to bed, waking up similar times, good sleep hygiene, all of that sort of stuff. Sleep in the dark, no screens before bed, no bright lights in your room. You want to be sleeping in a cave. you want to be winding down at night, not sitting and watching CSI and then going to bed with your adrenaline in the sky, not eating before bed. You want to give 2 to 3 hours before going to sleep, in terms of no food for at least 2 to 3 hours before sleeping, all to help improve your quality of sleep. So sleep's important. Other things that you can do daily are staying hydrated. Really simple, and you probably hear this a million times now. It's really important you get a balance with this. If you're drinking tons and tons and tons, that's not great. So you do want to balance with this. It's not like everything in the body, more is not necessarily better. Just because staying hydrated is good, it's not good to drink like 7 liters a day. That actually probably means there's something up with your electrolytes or with your blood sugar, or something is a bit wonky. So, but making sure you stay hydrated, which is, let's just say, is roughly you're aiming for maybe like at least 2 liters a day, I think it is. It's, some of it depends on your body weight. But making sure you're drinking water, especially in the morning, is a great way. Now, this is a really actionable thing. When you wake up in the morning, do not have caffeine, do not have tea or caffeine, have water, warm water or herbal tea, and have a good amount of it. Ideally, wake up to having a good pint, or I can now often drink a liter first thing in the morning, not all in a one, but as I'm getting ready, I'll drink through a liter of lukewarm water, either with lemon juice in or a herbal tea bag in. And that is a great way to flush out your system, because at night, the reason sleep is so important is your body does so much at night and your liver does a lot of detoxing at night. So, and what we want to do in the morning is get hydrated so you can just pee that stuff out. So water is really important. Another thing you can do daily is think about your liver loving foods every day. So this isn't something I'm super strict about, and I'm not, you know, crazy. I don't know. I don't think about this too much because it's just become part of my lifestyle. But I have a list of liver loving foods, and those would be things like turmeric, garlic, onions, all green leafy veg, lemon peel, lemon juice, beetroot, raw beetroot, and beetroot tops, the green leaves at the tops of beetroot. I am missing a couple of these things out. Garlic, egg yolks. These, say 10 foods, there's probably more than that. I want to be making sure every day that I am eating 2 or 3 of those. So I want to make sure I'm eating egg yolk, maybe some lemon peel in a smoothie, some beetroot in a coleslaw. I want to make sure I'm having green vegetables. Like, you really want to be making sure you're having as many of those foods in a day, like as many as possible, because those are really great. They have certain components that really help with the different detoxification pathways within your liver. You have kind of like a 3-stage process of detoxing within your liver. You have toxins coming into the liver, and the liver will convert them in order to make them more excretable. And often this process actually makes toxins more toxic. Then you have the 2nd stage where the liver will bind these toxins and conjugate them. And then the 3rd process is that kind of excreting them out. That's a really simple process, but just so you know. And there's certain foods and certain nutrients and certain herbs that really help support each of those pathways. And here's where genetics can come into it. Certain genetic mutations and predispositions can mean that some people can be really poor at the first part of detoxification and really great at the 2nd part, or they're amazing at that stage 1 of making all the toxins more toxic, but they're really terrible at the other parts of the detox pathway, and that can cause a lot of problems, a lot of hormonal imbalance. It's a really big thing, and that's probably the most common genetic factor that I see when it comes to acne. It's not that there's a gene that makes you have more acne. There's often genes that will contribute to this kind of hormonal imbalance in this case. So, daily ways of supporting your liver. We've got sweating, sleeping, water, your liver-loving vegetables. Don't forget protein. Just eating vegetables can be a really nice way to cleanse the body for a couple of days, but actually to really support your liver, you need fiber and you need vegetables, but you also need amino acids for your liver to work really optimally. So making sure you're getting a good amount of protein can be really, really helpful every day. So every day you want to be thinking, every meal, you want to be thinking, where's my protein? You don't need to think like a bodybuilder, and you don't need to go crazy. You don't need like high protein shakes, but you do just need to be thinking, oh, okay, I'm making buckwheat pasta for dinner with pesto. Oh, there's no protein here. Let's add some tofu. Let's cook a bit of fish quickly. Let's quickly add some bacon. Let's some protein. You want some protein there. So that's another thing. Another thing that can be really helpful is also not eating too late. And I talk about this a lot in my programs and with my clients. So making sure that you're not eating at like 10 o'clock at night and then going to bed and then waking up and eating again at 6 o'clock. You want to be leaving yourself a good amount of time overnight for your body to rest, for your digestion to rest, and that can really help support the body as well. So those are just a couple of really simple things that can help. Other things that can help in the day is movement. So walking, jumping, yoga, any sort of movement is amazing for your detoxing and for your liver. So these aren't really complicated things. They actually can be really simple. Lemon water in the morning, maybe some beetroot coleslaw with your lunch, making sure you're eating fish so you have some protein, good sleep hygiene. Those kinds of things can all be really helpful things that you can add in to support your liver. Now, there's a couple of other things that can be really helpful as well, that specific herbs and nutrients that often I recommend to clients when I'm supporting their liver, which is what we do with a lot of clients. And I'll go through a couple of things that can be helpful. Again, the ones I recommend often are really personalized, so it really depends on the person and what's going on with them. But things I use a lot in my practice would be things like turmeric, garlic or extracts of garlic. Certain herbs like milk thistle can be great for supporting the liver. Dandelion, nettle, love all of those herbs for helping the liver. Also nutrients like calcium D-glucarate is great if we suspect estrogen dominance. That's a really great one that clients see a lot of success with, as well as other things, burdock root, a whole bunch of different herbs and nutrients. And again, you kind of want to select the nutrients you're using based on which part of detoxification you think needs the most support, if that makes sense. So again, that's something that's different for each of us. Also fiber, I'd also probably add in, I didn't mention that, but I'd add in fiber to that mix. If someone has got poor bacteria in their gut, we probably want to add a prebiotic in there and make sure that they, as I said before, are pooping regularly. So those are some ways that you can support your liver. You've got those daily detox things, and then you've got those specific herbs and nutrients that if you're working with someone or a herbalist or a practitioner like myself, you can create a really nice bespoke package to support the certain areas that you suspect are struggling and are affecting your skin. Because when you think about acne, it's almost like the acne is like the fruit of the tree. And what we're saying here is there's no way you're going to just change your acne by just like applying new cleanser onto it. That might help a little bit, but it's not going to get rid of it, because you've got to go to the very root of the tree if you want to change the fruit. And that's why we look at hormones and liver and gut. And it's really helpful to think about it that way. So that's why the liver plays a really important role. Okay, the next thing we want to look at is cortisol. So I mentioned this last week in terms of how that can affect your acne and your skin. Cortisol affects everything. So I'm just here for the sake of clarity and getting specific. We're focused on acne, but you could fill in the word acne with colitis, depression, anxiety, IBS, eczema, psoriasis, weight gain, infertility, endometriosis. You get the idea. So cortisol is a hormone in the body that's great. We make it within our bodies. It gets made in the adrenals. It's a great hormone that helps when in balance. It helps to boost your immune system and can have lots of great benefits to it. The problem with cortisol is when it's out of balance, when there's way too much of it, or after a period of long stress, way too little of it, and you get that kind of low cortisol production. There is a disease called Addison's disease, which is a much more serious disease that is around disrupted cortisol levels. So that's not what I'm talking about here. If you know you have Addison's disease or you suspect you have that, you really need to get that checked out by a doctor, because that's quite a serious condition that you want to make sure you keep on top of. So I'm talking here about 20 stages down from that, where your cortisol is out of balance, but you're obviously not at that diseased level, but there is some sort of imbalance and dysfunction going on. So how, essentially, cortisol, when it's out of balance, can really get in the way of your body healing and repairing. So when it comes to acne, it can get in the way of your body healing and repairing skin. When it comes to things like colitis, it gets in the way of your gut healing and repairing the skin lining. When it comes to depression, it can get in the way of the brain healing and repairing that inflammation that's often linked with depression and other mental health issues. It gets in the way. So what the heck can you do about it? So I have got, there's loads of things that you can do to support cortisol. We'd be here for hours if I went into them all in depth. So I'm giving you kind of like my top 6 or 7 favorite, simple, effective, well-researched things that you can do to lower cortisol. So what I recommend from this podcast is you pick one thing to help your liver and one thing to help your cortisol. That's it. So I'm giving you a lot of information, and whatever action or thing or food or lifestyle tweak that I mentioned that resonates with you most, take action on that. Don't try and implement everything at once. You can come back to this episode in a couple of weeks' time and take notes again and do something fresh. So pick just a couple, one thing to help your liver, one thing to help your cortisol. So what do we know can help to balance and often lower, that's often what a lot of people need help with, lower your cortisol or rebalance your cortisol? Number one, meditation. Well researched, it's free, it's not easy, but it is free and it is amazing. It's amazing for you. It's not necessarily enjoyable to begin with, not gonna lie. I like even today, it's been such a busy cup time. I had an awful nap time with my son. He side note, goes for a nap before he goes to nursery. I thought he was asleep, eating my dinner, going to his room. He's turned the light on. He's taken his nappy off, his sleeping bag off, and peed all over his bed. I reset the bed, new nappy, new sleeping bag, tell him to go for sleepy time, come back in 10 minutes later. He's done exactly the same thing. And I'm just like, my cortisol was high, guys. So he's gone to nursery and I'm sitting there watching some mindless Netflix while I eat the rest of my lunch. And I'm just like, I should probably meditate. You know what? It's been a really busy week. I should just take 20 minutes to really take a moment and to be calm. But I didn't want to. I want to finish my, you know, my Netflix program. But I know now, I've learned over the years, I've been doing this for probably about 3 years, that my body needs it. It's like a prescription. It's like a supplement. It doesn't cost me anything other than my time. And I have seen the benefit of it. And I do see the benefit all the time with my clients. I know you'll have resistance to doing it. I know you'll feel bored. I know you'll feel like you're doing it wrong. I know you'll feel like your monkey mind is getting in the way. I know you feel like you don't have the time. We all feel like that, but we do it anyway. So meditation. Number one, number two is being outside, being in nature. It's just like medicine for your cortisol levels. It really is. Just going outside. Now, this could be for a beautiful long walk along the beach or a forest alone and you're all blissful. Or this could literally be, you know, you're hanging out the washing because it's a rare sunny day in Britain and you just take a couple of minutes to just be outside, notice the grass on your feet. Look around, look at the birds, just taking those little moments instead of eating your lunch crammed inside, sitting out in your garden or on your balcony or just in front of the window or taking a picnic to the park if you don't have a garden, and just being outside doesn't need to mean a massive expedition, but it's incredibly helpful. Okay, the next thing that can be really helpful is movement, especially mindful movement. So I'm thinking lower impact, more chilled movements, things like slower swimming, yoga, Pilates, more kind of intuitive, dancey, contemporary movements, Tai Chi, all of these kind of slower things. Walking can be really helpful ways of lowering your cortisol levels and being rebalanced there. Another thing you can do is get support and therapy. If you are like, Kezia, I don't know how to switch off. I'm constantly on the go. And you've maybe had some really negative or abusive past experiences or traumatic situations in your life that you've never really felt like you've talked through with an expert and really dealt with properly. It sounds like you might need to go and get some therapy and some support. Get someone who is properly qualified. My personal preference, this is just my opinion, I really like psychotherapy and I like psychologists just because they tend to have quite thorough in-depth training and it tends to look at kind of root causes of things. So support and therapy for me has been one of the best things that I've done to lower my cortisol levels. When I was trying all these other things and not making progress and I didn't know why, it's because I needed a bit more help on sorting out the experiences I've had that were getting stuck in my brain. Next thing, herbs can be great. Again, you need to work with someone around this, but things like ashwagandha or reishi or valerian or lemon balm or magnesium even, that's not a herb, it's a nutrient, but some herbs can be great. I personally get on really well with ashwagandha. Some people, and reishi mushroom is really nice, but using a nice blend or like a personal prescription of that can be really helpful as well. Next thing is ditching caffeine and sugar. If you know your cortisol is high and you are stressed out of your nut, adding sugar and caffeine is just like fuel to the flame. You just want to minimize that, reduce that as much as possible. Ideally, just get rid of it. Other things to be aware of as well, and I really noticed this in my son actually, and in myself, is additives and stimulants in food. So things like MSG, certain E numbers, especially I remember giving my son some Calpol once, which, a side note, I am really sparing with how much we give our son paracetamol and Calpol. I know a lot of parents do it quite ad hocly and, oh, just give them some paracetamol. I'm not, there's a lot of research linking paracetamol use in kids with lots of chronic health conditions and increasing the likelihood of those. So just word of warning, no drug is, every drug has a side effect, and especially with kids. So anyway, but he was having a dangerously high temperature, gave him some Calpol, and then he just acted super weird afterwards. His temperature got better, but anyway, he just got a bit hyperactive, and I looked into some of the E numbers that were in Calpol, and a lot of them were linked to kind of crazy behavior. So anyway, E numbers, MSG, additives, like these really artificial synthetic things that they put into stuff can be really impact your cortisol level as well as your mood and immune system and all those kinds of things. So those are all things that you can be aware of or do to actively help rebalance your cortisol levels. And if you can have more balanced cortisol, if you can support your liver a little bit more each day and have some herbs and nutrients and daily habits support detoxification, you can really impact your hormonal balance that we talked about last week and see real shifts in your skin. And these are really the foundations of what I do with my clients if we're looking specifically at acne and also probably other things like eczema and other skin conditions too. This is kind of the blueprint. So if you can apply these step by step to your life, you can start to see some real progress, which is exciting because I know how uncomfortable having things on your skin is, whether it's eczema, whether it's rashes, whether it's acne, whether it's, you know, you should have no shame around your body, okay? Your body is beautiful. And often the skin is a mirror of your gut health. It's a mirror of your liver. It's a mirror of everything that's happening internally. I always remember your skin is a bit of a map. I'm really aware of this with my son. If he suddenly gets a nappy rash, which thankfully he's maybe had like two of those in his life, then I'm aware, okay, this isn't about a nappy. This is about something happening internally. The one time he got eczema when he was younger, I was like, okay, this isn't just because I had eczema. This isn't because there's an internal balance going on. And when I addressed that in him, then the eczema disappeared. And same in other contexts. So be armed with the knowledge. Know that you are worth this, that you don't need to do all of this at once. Like I said, pick one or two things, take small actions, and they lead up to huge results. Let me know any questions that you have over on Instagram, and I will see you next week for another podcast episode. Sending you lots of love. Bye.